When I was a young man in my young 20s, I managed a fast food franchise in Cornwall. And there was a woman who worked for me, and she was, I'm guessing, between 52 and 55 years old. And she was, there was a man dating her about the same age, and I was thinking at the time, boy, these people are old to be dating. Now I look back from my perspective, they were just young chickens, you know. But this man used to come and pick her up and drive her home after her shift. And sometimes she wasn't quite ready, and so he would sit in my office and share, and he always spoke about Jesus. And one day he said, you know, I need a parking spot, and Jesus gave me a parking spot. And I said to myself, what sort of nut is this, you know? And when Margo and I got saved, I think people would have called us Jesus nuts too. The thing about this man is, Margo and I were visiting her father in the hospital, who was very ill. And we came down the elevator and ran into the man. He said, what are you doing here? And we said, well, we're here to see, you know, Margo's father. And he said, do you mind if I go pray for him? Well, at that time, he wasn't going to church. So we said, go for it, you know. Of course, I didn't know how he would react. And so he spent time in the room witnessing to my father-in-law. And when I was walking them to the elevator to thank them for coming, my father-in-law said, I want to do that. He accepted Jesus. There's something to be said about religious nuts, you know. Love Jesus with all your heart, you know. Never get tired of telling people about Jesus. This man was an example, and if it wasn't for his example, my father-in-law, you know, my wife and I had witnessed them, but you know, it took someone else, and he got saved. This childlike faith that we have when we're first born again is something special. But life has its ups and downs, and we tend to somehow lose that edge, we lose that excitement that we have. The good news is that childlike faith can be renewed, and there are four things I'd like to suggest around it. One is to spend time with faith people, people with a childlike faith, people that love God like you do. Spend time with them, because when you're going through something, they will lift you up. They'll encourage you in the Word, and when they need help, that's our job. We will then lift them up. The second thing is plugging into a Bible-based, Bible-loving, Bible-teaching church like this one. You've shown your appreciation for our pastors this morning, and you know, they're special people in that they're not here to try and impress people with status. They're not trying to be superstars. They're just people who love God and love God's people. And God has placed them here, and we're blessed to have them. So stay plugged into a Bible-based church where there's good teaching from the Word. The third thing is spend intimate time with Jesus in your quiet place. Pastor Ingrid shared about that about 3 weeks ago. And you know, if you spend time in the quiet place, I don't know for you if it's the end of the day or early in the morning, that's when I like to get up and when there's nothing on, there's no distraction, and try and be alone with Jesus. Because that's where you learn to hear his voice. And that's where you build that God relationship that gives you dreams like Leon was talking about. And so spend time in that quiet place. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the closeness of Jesus. And the last thing I want to say is meditate on the Word of God. So this morning I want to share some thoughts about meditating and obeying Scripture. But first, let's pray. Father, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And each time we spend time in the Word, we're spending time with Jesus. We're not interested in religiously reading. We want to spend intimate time with you, Jesus. We ask you to reveal yourself to us more and more each time. We want the richness. We want the truth of the Word. We want the healing power, line by line, that comes from spending time with you in the Word. Amen. One of the things a lot of us like about summer is barbecuing. Hot dogs are really good, and hamburgers are great with fried onions. You know, we were at the Mobile Mission the other night, and we were talking about the hot dogs we were cooking, and I was saying, boy, these would be good with fried onions. And Pascal said, it doesn't matter as long as it's onions, they don't have to be fried. But what I really like once in a while is a nice piece of steak on a barbecue. It doesn't have to be the most expensive cut of meat, but just a piece of steak once in a while. With Margot's homemade barbecue sauce and seasoning, you know, you don't just chew a piece of steak. You let it sit on your tongue, and you let the juices just arouse your taste buds. If you're getting that picture in your mind, that's a picture of meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We don't want a quick, you know, just a quick lunch. You know, we want the full 3-4-course meal when we're in the Word of God. Ancient farmers in Israel used to recite the Torah as they plowed their fields. And so as the seed went deep in the ground, the Word of God went deep into their spirits. There's a Hebrew word, haga, and it's a word that means meditation. And it means to murmur or growl like a contented lion savoring its prey. Joshua 1:8 says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you'll be prosperous and successful. How many of us want to be prosperous and successful, right? Amen. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Meditation is slow, it's deliberate, and it's contemplative. It satisfies like saving that perfectly grilled steak. If we're to be honest, though, our world today isn't prone to pay a lot of attention to the written word. Not many people write letters today. I like getting a letter once in a while. You know, it's something different. It's something to look forward to when you open that envelope, but we don't see it much anymore. Instead, we skim over texts and emails and captions, you know, LOL. All we find in our mailboxes is junk mail. Yet postmen threaten to go on strike. We don't need the junk mail, you know. And we feel for the people who work in that business. But give us some mail. Give us some letters, please. Give us something we'd like to read. In 2022, the United States Education Association did a survey, and they reported that only 48.5% of American adults read at least one book a year. It's a tough statistic, you know, it's hard to realize. People who read in the USA declined 6.1% from the year 2012 to 2022. In 2023, BookNet Canada reported only 52% of Canadians read between 1 and 5 books a year. And the Forbes magazine reported that book reading is declining 1 to 2% a year. Our world is known as post-literate. We read more words than ever, text, emails, and captions, but we skim over them. And the trouble is, it's affecting our ability to spell, to read, writing sentences. Studies show digital media rewires the brains, making deep reading difficult, whereas books force us to consider another person's thoughts one word at a time. And reading scripture does that with God's thoughts, but only if we slow down. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditation allows us to fix our eyes on God's word. Following his resurrection, Jesus explained to his disciples, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And that can be found in Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Jesus didn't just skim over scriptures. He unpacked the law, the prophets, the Psalms, showing how they pointed to him. And when we read the word of God, realize that it is pointing to him. He was immersed in the scriptures. He meditated on them. They were alive and burning in his heart. For Jesus, knowing scripture was knowing God's power. Matthew 22:29 says, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for being religious zealots, superficial. He said to them, you're wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus was saying we can't know or appreciate the power of God without knowing the scriptures. We need the power of God, especially in these days. It's not like when I grew up where things were so quiet, innocent, you didn't lock your doors. We need God more than ever. There's a pastor, a Lutheran pastor and theologian. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was German. And he said, meditation is powerful consideration of scripture. Meditation on the word of God was his inner strength under the most stressful situation. You see, this pastor, German pastor, stood up against the Nazis, and he was captured, pushed into a concentration camp where he was executed. And yet the word of God is what sustained him through the most terrible of times. Psalm 119:97 states, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. When you meditate on scripture, you're actually dialoguing with God as you listen to his word speaking to you. Dialogue is I speak, I listen, I speak, I listen. And all too often we go into our closets, our prayer closets, and we speak, but we don't take time to listen. But we're meant to dialogue with God, and we're meant to receive from his word. And if all we do is read the word without meditating, it's like a one-sided dialogue. Joshua 1:8 admonishes us to be careful to do everything written in the word. Understanding the scripture through meditation leads to action. Psalm 119:99, verse 99 and 100 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders. I obey your precepts. In the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson, he says it this way, Christians feed on scripture. We assimilate it, take it into our lives in such a way that it gets mobilized into acts of love. Rabbis would say, you learn the Torah with your feet through obedience. There was a pastor originally from around the Messina area. Pastor Barry might have known him. His name was Bob Vaughn. And Bob moved to the southern states to start his own church. But he would come up to the North Country every once in a while. He would tune pianos to make extra money. And he would come up, and because he knew a lot of the pastors, they would invite him to be a guest speaker in their churches. And he would always say, "Eat the book. Eat the book." In other words, we need an insatiable appetite to ingest the Word of God. Our generation is inundated with bits of information through social media. A lot of it can be, frankly, a waste of time, in my opinion. We're overwhelmed with information, so we tend to just nod at Scripture and move on. It's creating a mindset in us that we have to really be careful and cautious of. Jesus encourages us to meditate and consider what his word is saying, and then to act on it. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." And Jesus' brother James, his half-brother, in James 1, verse 22 says this. He says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." In other words, we can listen to the word of God. We can come to church. But if we don't put into practice what we're learning, we're deceiving ourselves. Meditating allows God's word to sink deep, rewiring our minds to think like Jesus and to do our best to live like him and for him. It isn't about earning God's favor. It's about responding to his grace, letting the word shape our character. Like savoring that steak I spoke about, meditation is an acquired taste through practice. It's not complicated. It takes discipline. You can start with a few short passages of Scripture. Meditating on the Word of God is about slowing down from our busy lifestyles and listening to and obeying the Word of God. As I said before, when we grew up, it wasn't quite like this. And our kids probably don't realize the difference between being busy and being able to live life at a pace where you can enjoy it. And so it's up to us as parents and as people who are older and people in the church to teach them. How can we stand on the promises of God if we don't meditate on his word and know what it's telling us? One of my favorite preachers is Bill Johnson from Bethel in Redding, California. Not everybody likes the way Bill preaches. I do. He will speak a few words, then he'll stop to see if you're getting what he's saying. And if you don't react, he's going to say it again, and he's going to stop again. Because he wants you to understand what it is that he's sharing with us. And so I want to share a story. He always tells a story before he shares the word. And so I'm going to sort of recreate a story that he said one time. I think it's funny. I hope you think it's funny too. I can't help it. This man was cutting his lawn, and a city truck pulled up in front of his house. Two young girls got off of the truck, obviously summer students, you know, summer job. They go to the back of the truck. They each grab a shovel. They proceed to his boulevard, and one digs a hole. The other one fills the hole and, you know, pats it down with the feet like that. They go to his neighbor. The one digs the hole. The one fills the hole. And he watches these girls, and they're going house after house towards, you know, the end of the street. After a while, he gets on his bicycle, and he goes over, and he says, "You know what? I see you're working hard. Could I get you some water?" And they said, "Oh, we've got water in the truck." Then he said, "You know, I've been watching you, and I don't quite understand what you're doing. You dig the hole, you fill the hole." And the girl, who seemed to be the older of the two, said, "Actually, we're normally a three-person crew, but the girl who plants the trees phones us sick today." When we read the Word of God without meditating on it, it's like digging a hole and filling it. It's like working with a two-person crew when you need a three-person crew. And so there are three suggestions I like to make for us for this week. One is, incorporate slowly reading scripture this week. Pick a passage, read it slowly. You know, sometimes reading out loud helps. You know, you hear your voice, you hear it. I like that. I find very much, you know, sometimes I have to read it out loud. Reflect on the verse that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention. Pray them back to God while resting in His presence. I'll give you an example. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, in the NIV says this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. You may be here today, and you're not sure if Jesus were to come tonight, if you'd spend eternity with Him. You may be someone who loves Jesus and born again, but there's a part of your life you just don't have victory in. At the end of the service today, there'll be a prayer team over here. And if you're not sure that you would go to heaven if something were to happen today, or if you're feeling and carrying the guilt of things that you just haven't been able to conquer up to now, we have people who will pray with you, and you can get that settled today. Okay? Don't wait. Do it today. And the other half of that scripture says, He heals all your diseases. You may be here today and you have ailments in your body, or maybe you're dealing with some mental issues as far as pressures, life's pressures, situations that you can't seem to get yourself out of. Come up to the prayer team. I know it's at the end of the service, and sometimes we're thinking, what about the roast in the oven? Or what about we're going to breakfast with this family? Or, you know, it's a nice day, I want to go for a ride. Look, don't let the opportunity go by. Please don't. The second thing I'd like to say is, as you contemplate the scripture, ask the Lord what He'd like you to do next. Perhaps He'll ask you to forgive someone. Maybe to reach out to someone who is either dealing with issues or isn't feeling well. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. Please respond. Possibly He'll ask you to repent if necessary. Sometimes we all mess up. There's only one perfect one, and that's Jesus. And so sometimes we need to repent too. Get into the habit in your prayer closet of having a pad and paper next to you and ask these three questions. I do this every day. I've had for years. I say, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? The second thing is, Lord, is there anything you want to show me? And the third is there anything you want me to do? Write down what the Holy Spirit tells you. It's amazing if you'll listen, He'll talk to you. If you slow down, spend the time with Him in His Word, in one-on-one, in relationship with Him. And the third thing I'd like to recommend you try this week is to approach the Bible reading with enthusiasm, not as a chore. You know, when it's the end of the day, you're ready to jump into bed, you've been busy. Oh, I forgot to read today. And you jump into bed with your Bible. Don't do that. You know, there's a person I know that when you're speaking to that person on the phone, sometimes they're talking to other people in the room. I'm talking to you and you're talking to somebody. Don't do that to me. And when we jump into bed, at the last minute, think, well, I haven't read, and you try to squeeze in. That's like talking to someone on the phone and they're talking to someone else. Don't do that to Jesus. 5 quality minutes with Jesus is good enough. Quality time, okay? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have opportunity to spend time with Jesus. Come on. You can't get an appointment with the doctor. You know? But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, no matter what time of day you call on him, he's available. You can't tell me he's not busy. Everybody's prayers, he's hearing them all. And yet he has time for you and for me. Come on, let's not waste the opportunity. What a precious thing that is. Each time that you spend time with the Word of God, you have a one-on-one appointment with Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's your Savior. He's your best friend. Perhaps you've never thought of him as your friend because, you know, a lot of us grew up in religion and God was way up here and we're, that's not God. That's not the God I know. God is your best friend. He's there. Ask him. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. We just don't realize sometimes the gift that we have. That's why I just want to remind us, this is special. Picture Jesus handing his word to you and saying, taste and see. Even if it's new to you, keep chewing it. When you take the time to meditate on the word of God, you open the door for his Holy Spirit to speak direct to you personally. Let us pray. Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit, would you open our ears and hearts to what has been shared today? Lord, we're tired of religion. We're tired of doing the things that people think we should be doing. We want to spend time with you. We want to hear your word. We want to meditate on your word. And we want it to form us like Jesus. Oh, Father. Bless these people. Don't let one leave the same as when they came in. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and let us appreciate and thirst for that time in your word, that time with you, Jesus, where you will tell us what you want to tell us. You will show us what you want to show us, and you will tell us what you want us to do. Lord Jesus, you're awesome. Thank you so much, Lord. Let your blessings be on these people and on our pastors, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.